Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu, joined by Jamie Snowden on the live blog. We're talking some Packers football. We're in the midst of Green Bay Packers OTAs as they make their way through the offseason. To discuss what happened on the practice field yesterday, we have a special guest joining us on the line, Cheesehead TV's own founder, Aaron Nagler. Mr. Nagler, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for having me on, Brian. And may I just say co-founder,
yes. Co-founder. Mr. Corey Behnke, of course.
Hunt me down and shoot me if I take credit as founder.
Very good. Well, let's get right down to it. Let's talk about what happened on the practice field yesterday. I think one of the more interesting things, Don Barclay practicing with the first string, taking the place of Josh Sitton at left guard. I guess I probably wouldn't read in too much into a established veteran like Josh Sitton sitting out of practice. But what the question I have for you is, what is Don Barclay's role going to be with the team in 2014?
Well, it's interesting. McCarthy was asked after the practice yesterday about, you know, where he was going to play, where he saw him fitting. I thought it was very interesting that he said he's going to be competing at right tackle with Brian Bulaga. I think a lot of this is kind of off-season coach speak, obviously. I think he's actually better suited at guard. I think we saw last year how he's definitely a stopgap at tackle. I think he'll be first man off the bench in case anything happens to the, what we are going to probably presume to be the starting five of Bakhtiari, Sitton, Shredder, Lang, and then Bulaga at right tackle. But, you know, that's what camp is for. It'll be interesting to see him battle there, no doubt. But I just can't see him as cracking the starting lineup with those five guys in front of him.
Derek Sherrod not going to be the first guy off the bench?
I doubt it. He just hasn't played a whole lot of football. Now, that said, you know, Mike did say yesterday after practice that he looks as strong as he ever has, the strongest he's seen him. The last time we saw, you know, Derek Sherrod on a football field taking actual meaningful snaps as opposed to the, you know, handful that he got last year, he just didn't look very quick of foot. That's my big concern. And for a tackle, you gotta move your feet. You gotta get those speedy guys off the edge. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if he kind of cracks that as far as, you know, maybe a right tackle. He can fit there, first one off the bench. But, you know, there's just a lot you got to see in camp when the pads come on before I'm ready to say, yep, he's good to go. Because, as I said, Barclay may be a stopgap, but he's got tons of game experience now. He knows the game. May not always get the protection calls right, but, you know, he you can get through the fire with him.
Yeah, I understand that. Davante Adams, the Packers' second-round draft pick, took part in his first public practice yesterday after missing last week due to the NFLPA's rookie premiere. Aaron, how much of an impact do you expect to see Davante Adams make in his rookie year?
You know, not much of one. I know Packers fans are probably very excited. We've got another second-round wide receiver, and you know, Ted Thompson's history there is quite exciting. And when you want to project a second-round wide receiver in this offense, they've traditionally done very well. But, you know, even Greg Jennings, his rookie year, he got to start right out of the gate, and he hardly lit the world on fire. I think, you know, he will contribute, but it's going to be hard for him to you know, do much with guys like Nelson, Cobb, Boykin in front of him. I think he'll see the field, and I think he will contribute, but I think it will be minimal.
Speaking of wide receivers, there's kind of this growing feeling, this growing belief that the Packers are going to keep six of them this year after drafting three in the NFL draft. Do you believe that, and who will those six be?
Interesting. You know, it's a fun off-season game, but look, camp is going to come, and somebody's going to twist an ankle, or someone's going to get hurt. Things are going to change. Guys are going to shine in preseason games. You know, as far as, you know, obviously you've got four locked in. You've got Nelson, you've got Cobb, you've got Adams most likely, and you've got Boykin. I think Abadaris will be, you know, a guy to stick. I don't know. I don't know about the seventh rounder there, Janice. I've got to see these guys. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, what's going to happen projecting forward, the same thing as last year with the running back situation. Everyone thought they had it all figured out until, you know, we saw guys go down with injury. James Starks had kind of the best camp he's had in Green Bay, and he stuck when it all, you know, for a long time looked like Starks was done with the team. And now we've got Jonathan Franklin with his, you know, injury issues going on, and who knows how running back's going to shake out. And this happens every summer where, you know, guys are running around in shorts now, but when the pads come on, injuries happen, and things, you know, guys play well or don't play well, they regress. They guys who were shining in shorts look like crap in pads. So it'll be fun to kind of debate for the next month or so, but, you know, nothing can be stated until we see them in pads, on the practice field, in preseason games. That'll be fun to watch.
Well, we've been sitting here talking about wide receivers. We mentioned Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and those guys yesterday speak to the media answering questions about both of them are entering the final years of their respective contracts. What's going to happen with these guys, Aaron? When are they going to sign their extensions? Are they going to sign their extensions? Take this in any direction you feel.
I've said all along, I've said since the end of last year, I think Nelson gets it done this summer, probably early. Cobb, that one's hard to get a grasp on because he did draft three wide receivers. He did miss a significant amount of time last year. And when he has not been in the offense, the offense has been okay. I mean, it's not like he's a, you know, I guess an integral part. He's a nice weapon to have. He's got great chemistry with Rodgers. But, you know, Jordy Nelson has become the de facto number one wide receiver. Obviously, there isn't a true number one in this offense, but he's the guy that, more often than not, the play is designed for. You've seen both Aaron Rodgers and Matt Flynn absolutely zero in on him on certain plays. So he's become almost a Sterling Sharp-like guy in this offense. Now, Randall Cobb, like I said, he's a diverse weapon. You can do a lot of things with him. But it's all about where he values himself. And the Packers aren't going to overpay. You know, they, like I said, they drafted three wide receivers, so they're clearly, you know, setting up for the future in case Cobb's representation comes and says, we want a little bit more than you're willing to pay. Well, it's been great having you. But if they're going to do something with Cobb, I would think it would get done, again, prior to camp. I would think they would want to get it done prior to those guys walking on the practice field in late July. But I think Nelson's a no-brainer. I think that gets done sooner rather than later with Cobb. It'll be very interesting. If it's not done before camp, I think you can bet that Cobb will go through the year and you know, see what's out there next summer.
Yeah, interesting statistic. I looked this up a week ago or something. Not that starts mean anything necessarily, but Randall Cobb has actually only started 12 NFL games for a guy right. Considered to be the one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL with his next contract. He hasn't actually had a whole ton of playing time yet, but anyway, we're talking to Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV's own Aaron Nagler here at Railbird Central this morning. Aaron, we mentioned Jonathan Franklin in passing, but I'd like to maybe expound upon this a little bit. He hasn't practiced yet this year after suffering a neck injury last season, a concussion, going on injured reserve. I know the Packers' policy is that they don't discuss injuries during OTAs, but is there any reason to worry here?
No, until they say something, no. I mean, that's the NFL policy. You know, it's not just the Packers. Coaches don't have to discuss anything, and most of them don't. And it's frustrating as a fan, obviously, but, you know, time will come when something will be done. He'll either be on the practice field or there will be an announcement that he's on IR again or whatever. It's funny. I remember, five or six years ago when the Packers running back situation was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it was the year we entered with Brandon Jackson as the number one running back. And that was, you know, that Packers fans were up in arms because Thompson hadn't done anything at the running back position. And now Jonathan Franklin, they spent a decent draft pick on him and he's out. And it really doesn't matter because they've all of a sudden got this actually very talented stable of backs. I think obviously Eddie Lacy, returning offensive rookie of the year, James Starks, we all saw how well he ran last year. And then Dewan Harris is back, my boy, my guy. He would have been starting last year had he not gotten injured. So I think it'll be very exciting to see how that shakes out. I think DeJuan Harris will add another exciting dimension to the offense. Jonathan Franklin, you know, we all remember the Bengals game. That's what you hope for when you see him on the field. We just got to get him on the field.
Yesterday, Aaron, you and I had a brief Twitter discussion about Tim Mastay and Mason Crosby on kickoffs last season. And sometimes Twitter discussions are a little nebulous about how they get started. and I don't maybe what did this to start with by Mike Tenier? You can address that here. But anyway, I mean, who should be kicking off for the Packers?
I think it's Tim Mastay, and I think it's the biggest no-brainer of all. This is how coaches outthink themselves all the time. And it's funny because Mike Tenier did indeed tweet out what was the rationale for taking Crosby. And I said, I was joking, that as far as I could tell, he kicked it to Cordell Patterson in the opening kick of the Vikings game. Patterson took it back 109 yards. Mm-hmm. That was the last we ever heard of Mastay.
Yeah.
Because the Packers couldn't cover a kick, Mastay lost that job, which I think is ridiculous. Just keep kicking it out of the end zone. They're not going to run it back 109 yards every freaking time. But no, Crosby can directional kick. Oh, Crosby's really good at onside kicks. Well, that's great. There's two or three onside kicks that were executed all year. That's wonderful. We've sacrificed this guy who can put it in the end zone nearly every time, as long as it's not December in Lambeau. But even then, he can probably get it to the goal line. That's the other thing. Mason Crosby, his days of putting it in the end zone are over. So now we're going to play with fire, letting guys catch the ball at the goal line or the five-yard line, giving them return opportunities in a league where no one gets return opportunities anymore. To me, it's ridiculous. Just let Mastay hit it out of the end zone every time.
Do we have a problem that the kickoff specialist is getting us more fired up than any topic we've talked about?
It's not the kickoff specialist. It's the coaches. Just drives me insane. They drill down, so to speak, and try and figure it out. No, just figure out your coverage. Don't figure out the kicker. The kicker's fine. The kicker did his job. This drives me nuts. These guys are just spend all these times in offices looking at tape going, oh, we got to fix this. No, fix your coverage. Drives me nuts, Brian.
Aaron, last question before we let you go, and this will kind of maybe give you a chance to plug your day job, your other job with Bleacher Report. I just saw you this morning retweet your colleague there, Mike Freeman, mentioning that there is a half dozen teams in quiet pursuit of Jermichael Finley. This is the first we've heard of that. Are we buying into this? I mean, I certainly, respect Mike Freeman, but it kind of came out of nowhere, I guess. Came out of left field.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt that Mike talked to someone being someone in Finley's camp, and they've given him that. And I have no doubt that at least six teams have called gauging, where Finley's at, stating their interest in Jermichael Finley. But to me, it really comes down to the Packers and the Patriots. I think, we saw that Seattle is out of the running. They had him in earlier this year. I think the Patriots, they had him in last Friday. Took a look at his neck. No other information coming out of that visit. But if and when a doctor gives him clearance on a team, and I know Dr. Maroon has given him clearance, the neurosurgeon for the Steelers, if and when a team is ready to clear him, I have no doubt the teams in question will be the Packers and the Patriots. And either team would be lucky to have him if he comes back, as he was before he went down last year. Because last year he was playing probably his best ball of his career. And he was a different guy last year, and he was very exciting to see. And I know a lot of people look at a $10 million insurance policy he has, and they say to themselves, well, if someone's going to give me $10 million, I would walk away today. And I understand that because we're fans, and that's how we think. But as a football player, when that's what defines you, and that's your profession, that's what you love to do, you want to get back out on the football field. And also, if he signs a one-year deal and has a great year with either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football, he's set to make three times that. So I understand, why people kind of guffaw and say, well, this is ridiculous. He should take the $10 million. But he's a football player. He wants to play football, and he should.
Not that I'm going to hold you to it, but your prediction, he's going to play this year?
No, actually, what's funny is that, as I've said all along, I don't think he ever plays again.
Yeah,
I've said it since the day, you know, the day after he got hurt. I'll be shocked if we ever see him on the football field again. Now, that said, like, it just takes the one doctor. I mean, we've seen Dr. Maroon. He's famously, you know, been much more liberal in his prognosis than a lot of the other doctors on the NFL. So that remains to be seen. You know, but there, Keenan Carpenter is a great, you know, example from back in the day who had a C3, C4 fusion. He played for three more seasons afterwards. So, you know, the Packers took the slow, long train with Sean Richardson, taking what, you know, was it 18 months before they got him back out on the field. So if Finley's willing to wait, maybe that's the play. But I think Blake, his agent, has done a great job of keeping his name in the headlines. I'm not sold that we'll ever see him again on the football field.
Yeah, fair enough. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. You've been generous with your time here. We'll let you get back to work.
Thanks so much, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. Aaron Nagler, GZ TV's own co-founder, joining us here this morning to talk some Packers OTAs on Railbird Central. Thanks, Dan, for joining us. Thanks for you, the listener, for joining us as well here on a Wednesday morning. The Packers holding one day of open practice per week. That day came yesterday, Tuesday. That doesn't mean the Packers aren't practicing today. They are, in fact. It's just behind closed doors from here on out till next week. Next open practice is again next Tuesday. And in fact, this morning's Packers calendar that I posted at Cheesehead TV, kind of the one notable activity happening today, Colt Lyerla expected to rejoin the Packers today. The undrafted rookie tight end, who we've talked about plenty on the show and been talked about plenty elsewhere other than here, the talented but troubled Colt Lyerla, missing practice yesterday for unspecified reasons. We don't really know what's going on. As we said, the Packers really aren't obligated to talk about injuries or absences during this time of year, during OTAs, when things are voluntary, you know, NFL policy there. So they keep things under wraps. But I mean, it was just one day, and Mike McCarthy said, I'm fully aware of where he is, and I expect him back tomorrow. So Colt Lyerla expected to rejoin the Packers today. I mean, we could sit here and speculate as to where he was yesterday. I am assuming he was not just out enjoying the pleasant weather in Green Bay yesterday. For a guy who is on a short leash, although they say OTAs are voluntary, that's kind of with a wink and a nod. They might be voluntary if Aaron Rodgers said he wanted just to take a day off because he's been grinding and he's you know, what is he, a 9-year veteran now. Sure, Aaron Rodgers could take the day off, and nobody would probably bat an eye. They might if he chose to, you know, miss one of the open OTA practices when all the media is there. But, I mean, for most players, OTAs are not really voluntary. They are more or less mandatory in that, you know, if a rookie decide just to skip out and say, I just don't feel like practicing today, I'm going to go to the beach, that's not going to fly. You know, I'm not to assume this is, you know, happening with Colt Lyerla, but to, you know, just put OTAs in perspective here as to what's happening. You know, any rookie for that matter, they're all on a short leash. They don't get the luxury of taking a day off. They're expected to be there and work on their craft and learn their respective schemes and X's and O's, and you have it. I mean, Colt Lyerla, he obviously had a legitimate reason, whatever it is, for missing practice yesterday. But he's expected to be back today on Wednesday. So that's kind of your update there. In fact, folks, you know, last episode of Railbird Central on Monday, I sat here and I opened up the phone lines for anybody that wanted to call in. Well, unbeknownst to me, as I figured out, I gave you the wrong phone number, so anybody that even tried to call wouldn't have reached me. And I apologize for this, and I want to, you know, make the record straight. On top of that, you know, I just had some people tell me afterwards, like, well, had I known ahead of time, you know, people who, you know, listen to the podcast of the show who aren't necessarily tuning in live, and there's, you know, so many ways people digest our content here at Cheesehead TV. We thank you all very much, those of you that tune in live to the show. There's other people that, you know, listen to the podcast, or we post it online and watch it on demand, watch it on live stream, all these, you know, sorts of ways. And any way you choose to listen to our show, I appreciate it. But if you do happen to want to call in here, you can write this down. I'll give you the correct phone number, and I apologize, I can't type it on the screen right now, but it is 347-903-5994, the Cheesehead TV call-in line to Railbird Central, area code 347-903-5994. If you want to call in, actually, and talk some Packers football, I would be happy to have you. And again, I'm not typing this on the screen. I'm kind of doing it at a moment's notice here, so I don't expect anybody to call in. But if you want to talk some Packers football, feel free to give me a shout. We can talk Packers football, because there's more I want to get to from yesterday's OTA sessions. And there's certainly a lot we got to with Aaron Nagler, from Don Barclay to Devontae Adams to the contract situations of Nelson and Cobb, Jonathan Franklin. We talked about all those things. And there was kind of one more notable thing that I believe I'm going to write an article about at Cheesehead TV here, that I want to get to in a post that I'm going to write, and that's about Scott Tolzien. And you know, nothing really notable on the practice field from Scott Tolzien yesterday. You know, he looked fine, reportedly. Nothing great, nothing terrible. But yesterday, head coach Mike McCarthy, during practice, kind of praised Scott Tolzien for, you know, how far he's come along, his command of the offense. You know, he was kind of signed right at the beginning of the season last year after, you know, he went to training camp with the 49ers, got cut at the end. So he comes in, is signed to the practice squad of the Packers, and, you know, is just, you know, behind the eight ball in terms of learning the offense and things like that. And then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers gets injured and he's called up and forced into action. It just all happened really fast for Scott Tolzien, you know, last year. So understandably, it, you know, takes a while for him to learn the offense, the ins and outs, and get comfortable with the environment around him, the receivers he's throwing to, the center he's receiving the snap from, all those things. Just a lot of little things. And he's coming along, according to head coach Mike McCarthy. And I guess the interesting thing here, and by all means, if anybody wants to call on and talk about this, or just throw out your guesses on the live blog as well, I wanted to ask, you know, Scott Tolzien is now in his fourth year in the NFL. He's out of practice squad eligibility. So, do the Packers keep three quarterbacks this year? And I'd be interested to see what people think here. You know, typically the Packers keep two quarterbacks, assuming both guys are healthy. The Packers typically keep two quarterbacks on the 53-man regular season roster. But because Scott Tolzien is out of practice squad eligibility, do they keep three quarterbacks this year to keep him around? You know, Matt Flynn is only on a one-year deal. You know, the Packers made no long-term commitment to him. Scott Tolzien is actually also in the last year of a 2-year deal. But it, you know, might he be next year the number two guy? You know, the Packers' long-term backup solution here. Any sort of thoughts on Scott Tolzien at all? I'd be interested in hearing them. I see John on the live blog has chimed in. Says, this is a very tough year for me. I think this is the year they keep three just based on what happened last year. You know, last year, obviously, the Packers found out the hard way about the backup quarterback situation. They thought, I think, B.J. Coleman would end up being the guy, or they hoped Graham Harrell would take the next step in his progression. Neither of those scenarios happened. They have to cut both those players during training camp. They bring Vince Young in for a look-see, and he wasn't the answer either. So, you know, they signed Seneca Wallace during the season. They signed Scott Tolzien. You know, the Packers basically, you know, how many quarterbacks did they go through over the course of the entire season? Seven? You know, when you're talking Rodgers, Flynn, Tolzien, Wallace, Vince Young, Seneca, B.J. Coleman, and Graham Harrell, right there. There's seven quarterbacks right there that they tried to develop or, you know, gave some shot to one extent or another last season. Seven quarterbacks, seven guys. And, you know, at least the position seems a little more solidified this year. Travis on the live blog chimes in. With what happened last year, yes. Ideally, he outplays Flynn, but having all three would be good. It really comes down to how many wide receivers, tight ends, defense backs, you know, how many of those positions do you keep? Yeah, I mean, certainly nothing is set in stone here, and an injury at a moment's notice can change the outlook of how many players they keep at a particular position. Those things are all, you know, kind of perpetually in flux and flexible, and you just don't know what's going to happen. So all of a sudden, you know, Matt Flynn gets injured, knock on wood. We don't hope that, but, you know, he gets injured, and Scott Tolzien, he's the backup by default. But you know, it is kind of a situation with now or never with Scott Tolzien. Either they keep him on the 53-man roster or he's on the street. There is no practice squad option to just kind of sit there and kind of develop him and keep him around in case of emergency. That's out the door this year. You know, he's got to stay on the 53-man roster if the Packers want to keep him around and continue to develop him. That's the only option for doing so, is on the 53-man roster. So a lot of different directions the Packers could go. My guess is that, yes, Scott Tolzien, you know, will stick around this year. That, as of, you know, what is it, June 4th today? That's my guess as of June 4th. Subject to change, obviously. We have so much time until the regular season starts. You know, the rest of the off season for Scott Tolzien, not to mention training camp and how he performs in the preseason. Those will all be huge factors for how well he comes along and continues to grasp the offense and performs under fire when there's actual games to be played. Those will all be huge factors into whether the Packers decide to keep him or not. So my opinion in June may not mean a whole lot right now, or, you know, anybody's opinion for that matter. And I'm certainly liable to change. But, you know, just based upon the Scott Tolzien I saw last year, a guy who is raw but talented, you know, it's difficult to say. Jeremy Vanderlinden checking in on the live blog, say it's gonna be tough to keep three. It's no guarantee that the Packers keep three. Obviously, their, you know, their modus operandi has been to keep two over the years. They hate keeping three because that third quarterback is never going to play unless there's injuries, and injuries, you know, last year had a way of happening, but for years and years before that, it would kind of be a wasted roster spot that you could spend on a linebacker or a defensive back or whatever. you know, whatever the Packers want to keep an extra player at, as sort of any deep position that they see, a guy they want to keep around. It's a way of keeping a guy around. But Scott Tolzien might be worth it. Might be worth it this year. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining us for a Wednesday morning edition of Railbird Central. I have already invited for Friday's show. In fact, if you want to go check it out, I invited Will Brinson of CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. He wrote a great article yesterday on looking at how much NFL teams spend on the wide receiver position. And, you know, I think Green Bay is notable in that that they spend among the least money in the entire NFL on wide receivers. And that's partially because Jordy Nelson's a bargain and Randall Cobb is in his rookie contract. And that could vary if they, you know, give both those guys extensions, as we discussed, that could change in a moment's notice. But as things stands right now, the Packers pay the least in the NFL for wide receivers in terms of yards per catch, in terms of production per what they're paid, the least in the NFL. It's very interesting how little the Packers are paying their wide receivers right now, due to change at some point, but currently least in the NFL in terms of yards per reception for what they're paying these guys. Very, very interesting. So we're going to talk to Will Brinson on Friday morning of CBS Sports, who kind of, you know, analyzed all this information and how much, you know, teams pay them and their salaries and all those kind of things, salary cap ramifications. So looking forward to that. But anyway, we'll see you later, folks. We'll be back again Friday morning, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirby. Thanks to Aaron Nagler for joining us today. I leave you today with a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.